Thou hast saved us from them that afflict us, and thou hast put them to shame that hate us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words come from Psalm 43. Saint Nicholas of Tolentino one day was praying his prayers, and as he was praying, he was suddenly struck by a remarkable vision. There before him, he saw a man completely engulfed in flames. And this man came to him and he began to speak. And that terrible sight that he saw was even further astounded, because as he listened to the man begin to speak, he realized, he recognized his voice. It was one of those instances where Nicholas recognized the voice but couldn't exactly put a finger on where he knew it. Couldn't think of the name. And finally the man told him. He said to Nicholas, "I am your deceased good friend, Pellegrino Dosimo. By the divine mercy I have escaped eternal chastisement due to my sins by my repentance. However, I have not escaped the temporal punishment that is justly due to them. I come in not only my own name, but on behalf of many souls in purgatory. We all await you, and we implore you to offer Mass for us tomorrow. You and your prayers and your Masses are very pleasing to God, and we expect a full deliverance from our sufferings, if not, at the very least, great alleviation." Nicholas, upon hearing this, his own friend in agony speaking to him, he tenderly talked to his friends, and he spoke to him, saying, "I pray our Lord alleviate you by his precious blood. But alas, I cannot offer Mass for you tomorrow, as I'm already scheduled to offer the conventual Mass, that is, the Mass for his religious community." Pellegrino sighed. "Ah, at last, at least come with me." And through the cries and tears, he beckoned and said, "Please follow, for the love of God." Nicholas couldn't deny him, and so he went after his friend. And he followed him into darkness. And arriving there, he saw before him an immense field, filled with souls, filled with the men and women kneeling, facing him, collectively crying and begging for him to please help them. He witnessed them all, witnessed them being tormented in various types of ways. All that he saw was so vivid, so near to him, so much that it was inescapable for him to begin to feel their pain. And Pellegrino looked at him and said, "Behold, the state of those who sent me to you. We are confident your sacrifice will be accepted. His divine mercy will deliver us." And Saint Nicholas began to weep for his friend and the souls that he saw before him. And he fell to his knees and he prayed right there for them on that spot. He prayed and was returned to his cell. He prayed all through the night. And then the next morning, he went to his superior and he related everything that he had witnessed. The whole entire vision, all that was said, all that he had seen, and he asked what he could do. His superior didn't hesitate. He gave Saint Nicholas of Tolentino permission that day to offer the very Mass that those holy souls requested, and that somebody else would say the conventual Mass. In fact, for the entire week, he told him, do not worry about the Mass for the community. You will say Mass for these holy souls in purgatory. Nicholas, with great gladness and great devotion, did exactly that. And all throughout the days and into the nights, he combined with these offerings his own prayers and his own sacrifices and penances that he offered up for the poor souls. Until finally, at week's end, as he was praying in his room again, he was revisited again by the soul of Pellegrino. This time, however, Pellegrino appeared to him in radiant white, shining with all his beauty of heaven. And he took him by the arm and he led him and told him to follow him again. And this time, as Pellegrino led St. Nicholas of Tolentino out, instead of into darkness, he went into a bright area of light. And there before him he saw a different field. This field filled with all the souls that he had witnessed there before, and many others as well. All there thanking him. All there clothed in that same heavenly white garments. All there rejoicing and grateful for having been delivered by the offerings of St. Nicholas and Tolentino. Together in one voice they began to sing. And they sang from Psalm 43. Salvasti nos te affligentibus nos, et orientes nos confudisti. Thou hast saved us from them that afflict us, and thou hast put them to shame that hate us. The enemies spoken of in this psalm, they represent sins, and those who urge them on, the demons, their instigators. Forever they were these souls, delivered not only from sin, but temptation, and even the slightest mark of sin left over, and forever joined in paradise. It was wonderful to see this efficacious prayers offered and answered in this way for St. Nicholas and Tolentino. And it's an important aspect for us to think about and to ask ourselves. It's not new that we hear to pray for the holy souls of purgatory. We know it, and we do, in fact, do so. But just how often do we remember to aid these holy souls? They beg of us. They plead for our aid. They sit by and patiently wait for a willing soul to come and to do something on their behalf, to alleviate them, to help them out, to comfort them, and ultimately to deliver them to their final end and final reward of heaven. And yet, look at the world around us. How many people actually think about this in our world? Pray for the holy souls. Pray for their loved ones. Pray for the faithful departed who have gone before them, whether they knew them or not. Recognize that this is even a reality, that souls that have gone before may suffer temporal punishment to work off the remnants of their sins. It's very few. And so many a soul languishes, waiting for a person who is willing to do their part, to offer up something on their behalf. But we are here, we are part of that mystical body of Christ that they too belong to. And we pray. But oftentimes, if we are honest with ourselves, we look and realize that these offerings are not really as frequent as they could be. In fact, if we want to find the real inspiration, perhaps it's better if we stop looking towards ourselves to see what we can do, but look to the example and simplicity of a child when asked to do something as selfless as pray for the holy souls. There is no hesitation. They do it right away. And you may not realize it, but oftentimes they remember to do it when you're not looking too. I remember my grandmother talking to me after she started coming back to Mass again, which was after my ordination. And we spoke together, and she said that she remembers that as a child, her faith was one that was very generous because she just took the instruction of the nuns to heart and put it into practice regularly. As a little girl, she would walk every single day to school and walk every day home. And the nuns had told her that she should pray for the holy souls of purgatory because many people were there and few prayed for them. And so every day, this little girl, in her simplicity, she would remember, as she was walking, the little ejaculation prayers that her mom had taught her and the sisters had made her memorize. And she would say them one by one as she walked to school, just to kill the time on a short little walk. And then she would do it returning back home again. And when the weather would get cold, she would sometimes think to herself, I'll take off my mitten and see how long I can keep it off until I feel I need to put it on again. And I'll let the cold be a sacrifice. Or she would put a little tiny stone in her shoe and walk around until she couldn't be bothered by it anymore and would take it out. Another little tiny sacrifice. One thing after another, just opportunities seized as they presented themselves to her. And this little girl would grow up, and all of the disasters of the Second Vatican Council and all of her life would come along, and she would go away from the faith for a great long time, not going to church, not giving up on believing, but not practicing really at all. But one day, she came back to the faith, and she would die a good holy death. And I can't help believe a large part of that would be those grateful souls whom she no doubt comforted and delivered by the efforts of herself as a youth. And then we reflect on ourselves. Why is it that a child's offerings can be so simple, but so clear and consistent? It is because the world that they see is too often, or very often, just straightforward and simple. It is us who confound it, and we do so to our own demise at times. I mean that in a way of our own failure. Think about what keeps us from that type of simple action. It's not malice. It is not carelessness. It is not because we don't want to help the holy souls. It is because so much distracts us and takes our attention away from it and our focus from these things. The many duties of life and the things that we have to take care of and worry about, they take so much of our mind and occupy that. And then, if we are really honest with ourselves, many of the things are the unnecessary distractions. The world has those shiny objects to offer, to take our attention, to steal us away, and before we know it, our time is gone and little was done. And so, it is that call to us to quiet things down, simplify it, and realize that we have the opportunities if we apply ourselves.
When St. Nicholas of Tolentino saw the fires of purgatory, saw those souls suffering, saw all that was transpiring and how much they needed him, all the rest of his duties and cares fell by the wayside. It wasn't that he wasn't going to do his duties and perform the things that he had to do on behalf of the community and other things he was responsible for. But it was that he was going to always have that in his mind, what he had seen, and so that everything he did was done for that purpose. The work, the efforts, and the prayers all could be offered up for those souls. And then we could see ourselves and realize that no matter how much fills our day, we regularly have at our fingertips those little opportunities to offer up our work, our sacrifices, our inconveniences, our toils, and our prayers for those good souls. So try to remember this. Try to take the time of this quiet now and bring your soul to quiet tomorrow and the next day, as you strive to do your little part of good for the great number of souls that quietly wait. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.